Kingdom Power Systems. The motive must be right. The intent must be sponsoring God's intent. So you don't stop at being blessed. You go on to be a blessing. Because being a blessing is the essence of blessing. It's a life spiritual. You can't live your life to time and chance. It's dangerous. Let me tell you something. This gospel is not a joke. We have invisible powers that work with us. Understand the kingdom past. When power hits the floor, the people are weak.
Month of June shall be days of his power. Amen. Days of his power. Do you believe that? Days of his power. And listen, the people shall be willing. Glory to God. He says, in the days of his power, his people shall be willing. That means performance of God's counsel concerning your life are willingly swinging into action in the name of Jesus. Let your amen be loud in this service now. It's just a sign of your agreement with what God is saying. Glory to God. As the performance of God's counsel for your life and destiny are springing into action speedily in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And in this month of June, you will see Job chapter 1 verse 10 play out. That means the edge of God's fire surrounds you. It surrounds your household. And it surrounds everything you have on every side. God has blessed the works of your hands. And your substance is increased in the land. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. I began teaching this. We taught this about 3 years ago in similar teaching Kingdom Power Systems. But this, of course, will be different. It will come at a higher frequency with the freshness and a higher frequency of power. Amen. Hallelujah. Kingdom Power Systems. Today is the first part of the teaching. Kingdom Power Systems. Kingdom Power Systems. You see, we have school management systems. We have hospital management systems. We have account management systems. Hallelujah. Where are our ICT gurus? Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. But you see, we also have kingdom power systems. You see, all the other systems drew their inspiration directly or indirectly from the kingdom. Glory to God. I mean, the ICT system, that is. All right. You see, many years ago, something happened. A very sincere man, an honest man that I knew, got into an argument, I mean a trivial argument with a diabolical man. And fast forward from then, after a couple of months, after some months actually, a very strange sickness was projected into the body of this very nice Christian, innocent, sincere, I mean a good man. And he fell sick. He went everywhere, even went abroad and returned home and died and was buried. And someone with shock on their face looked and said, "What is going on? This is a good man. Why should this happen to this good man?" And I said, life on earth is a power play. Christianity was designed to be a power parade. You see, not to know that is to be a cheap victim. Not to know that is to have a frustrating adventure on the earth. Are you with me? Your pilgrimage as a believer will be frustrating if you don't understand the dynamics of kingdom power. Your sojourn on the earth, your adventure of destiny as a believer on the earth will be full of many unnecessary questions if you don't understand the dynamics of spiritual power. Glory to God forevermore. So I said, that is just the way it is. We have to get into God's word and check out what he says. Being sincere is not enough. Being nice is not enough. Are you with me? Just being a Christian, now that's a misnomer, because ideally a Christian is supposed to be a carrier and a tensor of power. But when I say just being a Christian, you understand what I mean? A Christian who is ignorant of these things that we are sharing. A Christian who all he's got is a religion. He doesn't know more than the Christian religion. It's not enough. Absolutely not enough. Those dreams are visions and visions. God showed me I'm going to be the governor of this state. God showed me I'm going to have a large orphanage that takes care of orphans. God showed me I'm going to rise to the top of the corporate ladder. God showed me this. God showed me that. God showed me that this business will grow to cover the country and even spread abroad. God showed me that I'm going to raise a Christian home, a godly home. It doesn't matter the dreams. Listen, without a clear understanding of the dynamics of spiritual power, those visions will just be daydreams. I may sound harsh this morning, but I need you to open your heart and follow me. They may just be daydreams. And let me tell you see, the top of the corporate ladder is not suit and tie and nice English. When you see them, you better be seeing altars and sacrifices. To think that just having all the degrees and speaking the nice English will keep you up, will take you up and keep you up, is making a big mistake. In fact, to think that just get yourself a nice native and have some money to spread around and that makes you a successful politician in Nigeria or anywhere in the world is a joke. You didn't get a memo. Are you with me? The marketplaces of life is a ground for the display of power. And this is why many Christians are relegated to plain small, to mediocrity. Because even those who have big dreams and attempted to raise their head could not, when they were confronted with the reality of spiritual power, they recoiled back. But it ought not to be so. It ought not to be so. And many times in the body of Christ, people are not taught about the ministry of the believer. Because you cannot talk about the ministry of the believer without the empowerment of the believer. Glory to God. You can't. And for your minister to think that ministry is about getting a fitted suit, a nice venue, and know some revelation to throw around you know, this is my industry, so I'm feeling sorry for the person already. You will close shop very fast, as fast as you opened it. Amen. You know what I mean, figuratively. It's a conflict of powers. That's what life is. That's the reality of life. And God knows. The guys in the kingdom of darkness understand that. That the higher you go, the higher the stakes. The more you want, the more you should understand what must be given in exchange. You know, I have a friend in the oil and gas. One day he told me a few years ago, he said, he's a man of God. There are more demons. He was telling me about his encounters when they were handling a deal. He was telling me about the kind of demonic encounters he had because he was in the forefront of the foreign company. He was their representative in Nigeria and he was standing in for them and they were bidding for a deal. He said the fight, it was, you know, have you ever been in a place where you were forced to fast and pray? There was no luxury. Do you understand? It wasn't luxury. It was because it felt like fellowship with God. Your life was at stake. You knew, look, there is no going back. Your hand is on the plow. This thing you have to do. And if you have to do, the only necessary path is spiritual power. But you see, it's important to be prepared beforehand. The way many believers behave is as though they didn't get the memo. They act as though, if there are those people who act surprised when they are confronted. Listen, you want to raise your head, they will come for you. I was talking to someone that should be this week. He came from Europe. He's doing some Europe and he came and he's believing God for some new stuff and all that. And I was telling him to take church seriously. The first time I was amazed, there is no charismatic church in his town. I said it's not possible. The town he is in Europe, he says the one Catholic church like that that they went once. I was amazed. Amen. No, I told him go to the next town. And this is why I told you, I said, if you don't look for a community, okay, that can consistently strengthen your conviction, when what you're expecting come, the cultists will come for you. That's what I told you. Is this huge? Your path must be clear. You must understand where your allegiance is. And that's even lower level. Glory to God. But my point is, the higher you want to go, the more prepared you must be. You don't get surprised. It's meant to happen. God distributed the promised land with giants inside. Think about it. He promised them Canaan. He didn't give them the land and use angels to drive out the people. No. Joshua distributed the inheritance to the tribes of Israel with giants in every man's portion. So if you are interested, you go and possess. You drive the people out and you possess it. Brothers and sisters, it's the same thing today. Your place in Christ. And I'm not talking about your legal place in Christ. I'm talking about your place of destiny in Christ. You'll be confronted with many giants. By many giants. You must understand the dynamics of spiritual power. Of kingdom power to subdue the giant, the opposition, and to fulfill your destiny. Are you with me? From the day man was created, Satan came. From the day man was created, let me say this way. From the day man was created, he needed power to live on the earth. And God empowered him. Of course, he relegated or relinquished his authority to the devil. His power to the devil. But thank God Jesus came. I say thank God Jesus came. And he has restored that which was lost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So for me personally, there's no better time than now. That the body of Christ needs, or believers all over the world needs to understand the systems that govern the release of God's power. Life is a power play. Being nice is not enough. Your intentions are not enough. Your nice intentions are not enough. Now, part of why I have budding for this teaching, and I believe part of why the Lord want me to share along this line through the month, okay, we even have some Tuesdays talking about this, is because, number one, wickedness has multiplied in the earth. Are you with me? You see, that whole concept of, if I don't bother the devil, he will not bother me, is fallacy. It's a myth. So I'm saying, look, it's all these people that are talking about spiritual warfare that are causing the trouble. Mm-hmm. You just live as though the devil doesn't exist. If you don't trouble him, he will not trouble you. Nothing could be further from the truth. Except you are not interested in destiny. Hear me. If you are interested in the fulfillment of your destiny, you will collide with demonic powers. It's non-negotiable. It doesn't matter the area of your destiny. In fact, even if you want to be a housewife to raise godly children, you will collide with demonic powers. Are you listening to me? It's compulsory. And number two, because I believe that we are the generation that will carry out God's plans and purposes for his church. What do I mean by that? You see, Jesus is coming for a fully activated church. You've heard me say that again and again. A fully activated church. A church where believers understand ministry. Believers understand that, look, everyone who is born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, who is named by the name of the Lord, is a minister of the gospel and has a purpose. The purpose to know him and to make him known. Everyone. Every believer is a living witness. A living witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. A living witness of what Christ has done, of who he is, and of his plans and purpose for the people of the world. Every believer has that ministry. And wherever the believer is planted, serves as the pulpit for carrying out that ministry. He serves as a platform for carrying out that ministry. So an ICT consultant sees that field as a platform for carrying out his ministry as the living witness. A medical doctor sees the hospital, a nurse, the pharmacist sees the hospital or the medical world as his field for carrying out that ministry of a living witness. This is God's will. And this is the only thing that can give purpose to this fickle life. But you see, Being a living witness is impossible without understanding the dynamics of kingdom power. It's impossible. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus said, "And ye shall receive dunamis after that you are endued with power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be what? And you shall be what? My witnesses." My witnesses. Listen. That means God never intended from the beginning that giving witness to Christ and his message should be done without power. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He said, "You shall be my witnesses." But you can't witness by yourself. You'll be weak. You have to be empowered. You can't give true witness to the resurrection of Jesus without power. That's what he's saying. So he said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Luke chapter 24 verse 40b, I believe. Is it tarry there until you are endued with what? Power from on high. So being a living witness is not possible without power. It's impossible without power. That's what Jesus is saying. Are you with me? It's impossible without power. Absolutely impossible without power. In Joel chapter 2 verse 28, the promise of power which began to be fulfilled in Acts 2 was not for a selected few. He was for all flesh. He says, "And I will pour my spirit upon all flesh." And he gives us the range. And study very well. Everybody under the sound of my voice fits into the range. Your sons and your daughters. Your old men. Your young men. You see, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. He said, "I will pour my spirit upon your handmaid, the servant, male servant, female servant." Everyone is included. Everyone is included. Everyone is included. Everyone is included. The spirit is poured upon all flesh. I'm showing us God's mind now. The Acts chapter 1 verse 8, I quoted shortly. Jesus was speaking to the whole congregation. He wasn't just talking to the apostles. He said, "You shall receive power," right? "After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me." He simply said, look, the life of power is not an exclusive reserve of the fivefold ministry. That's what he was saying. He spoke to the whole congregation. He spoke to the whole church. There were the church on the day of Pentecost. Mary was there. Mary was not an apostle. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. The other Mary were there. The other women were there. All the apostles were gathered. And they came from heaven. A sound as of a rushing mighty wind filled the entire place. They got filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. They got filled with power. Why? That was God's method of equipping them to be living witnesses. Are you with me? You see, the problem many times is believers don't see what God has asked them to do as a platform to be a living witness. And this is why they may not appreciate messages like this. You see, the moment, look at what happens, look at me. The moment you begin to see your assignment as a platform to be a living witness to the gospel of the Lord Jesus, your approach to the assignment will change. In fact, it will raise your vision. You know that, look, I'm doing this to honor God, so I can't do it small. Are you with me? And the moment you begin to have visions, what do we mean by vision? We're talking about pictures of a preferable future that is beyond what your human capacity can do. That is a vision. If it's less than that, it's not a vision from God. Because God can never give you a vision that you can carry out without his help. He can't. He can't. So once you agree that you are a living witness, and your job, your career, your business, what you do is a platform to give witness to the gospel of the Lord Jesus, to the goodness of God, the love of God, the purposes of God, your approach will be different. And what you are saying is, the moment you raise your vision to go galactic with what you do, the devils will come, oppositions will come. Are you feeling the mathematics? Oppositions will come. Except you don't want to do it for God. Oppositions will come. So when believers understand that, look, this thing, not all glory to God. And listen, this understanding will help your warfare and help the outcome of your life. It will help you to pray. You and God knows. You can tell God, Lord, this thing is because of you. It's because of you. You can call on angelic reinforcement with that understanding. You can. Because this is not just about you anymore. Why do you want a $1 million business? The kingdom is inside. So when you go to the court of heaven, you have words for argument. The man of God once prayed. He said, Lord, give me money and I will chase the devil back to hell. And God shall give you money. What a purpose. What a purpose. What a purpose. So it's all flesh. Everyone. No one is exempted. A life of power. When you mention kingdom power, don't look at the apostle. Look at yourself. Don't look at the pastor, the prophet. Look at yourself. God is talking to you. Why? You have an assignment. You have a destiny that God is interested in. And there is no way to carry out the divine destiny without spiritual power. No way. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. Joseph was a man in the marketplace. He displayed power. He brought... do you know what it means to understand the visions of the... understand the interpretation of the visions of the dreams of people, and then it comes to pass. You interact with the realm of the spirit. With the aid of a simple diagram, describe how to interpret. Forget what the jargons that people are writing about dreams. So maybe we'll teach on the leading of the spirit later in this year. We'll talk about it. Amen. This is not one jacket fit all stuff. He gave them the interpretation, and it was so. And listen, that interpretation has a Christocentric explanation. That's remarkable. To show it was prophetic, it has an eschatological implication. He told the butler he'll be restored, and then the baker he'll be killed. He is the type of Christ. When Jesus went to Hades, he preached to two kinds of people. He did. He preached to the angels. You see, the angel is not talking about heaven. He's talking about the angels who lost their first estate, who are in chains in Tartarus. Amen. You see that in 1 Second Peter. Amen. He preached to them that their doom was sealed. And then he said he preached to the Gentiles. You remember 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 16, right? He said, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. You remember? He has made alive in the spirit. He said he preached to the Gentiles, preached to the angels, and then made alive in the spirit. That's what he's talking about. That was what Joseph did as a prophetic type. So the butler was the type of the angels who lost their first estates. And he announced to them that their doom was sealed. I don't have time to show you scriptures now. And then he preached to the Gentiles. At what point did he preach to the Gentiles? In Hades. To announce God's great plan of salvation. Are you with me? And a promise of restoration for those who live according to the law of conscience. Glory to God. And then back to Joseph. After giving the interpretation to the dream of Pharaoh, listen, this is a foreign guy who is an ex-convict, an ex-slave and an ex-convict, who just came out of prison, interpreted your dream, told you, look, the Lord is going to give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And then he fleshed out a 14-year agroeconomic, praise God, and gave to Pharaoh. What did Pharaoh was going to do? He had cabinet. He had wise people. He is not a fool. He's surrounded by senators, wise people. But see, Joseph gave those interpretations with compelling power. Pharaoh could not look for another person. He said, who is as discreet as you? You are the man for the job. He didn't ask about his background. You are the man for the job. You are the man. That is not common for a king, in case you don't know. It's not a common thing in the palace. He's not the son of a nobleman. He's an ex-convict. He's a foreigner. But compelling power. Are you with me?
compelling power. Compelling power. Daniel, the same thing. Spiritual power. And I'm showing you marketplace people. I'm not talking about prophet Elisha and Elijah. So you don't say, those ones are prophets. Pastor, those are just prophets. That's why I'm giving examples of those in the Bible and in contemporary times who are marketplace people, who understood how to wield. They were not trapped by the negative circumstances. They were not trapped by what went on in the environment. They knew how to outsource things to the realm of the spirit. They knew how to transport realities from the unseen realm into the physical realm and solve problems. That was what Daniel did. You see, Daniel is inspiring. The story of Daniel and the three Hebrew boys is inspiring. I've told you again and again, go and read the book of Daniel if you have not read it before. Very inspiring. Daniel was the politician who was relevant in to four kings, I believe, three or four kings. He reigned for over 60 years, over three decades. At the beginning of his journey in Bethlehem, in Babylon, the king had a dream. This one was different from Pharaoh. At least Pharaoh was nice. He tells you the dream, you tell him the interpretation. So I say, no. I'm sure the sorcerers were getting wiser. So when he got to the days of Nebuchadnezzar, I said, no. Why are you a sorcerer? Why are you a sorcerer? Don't forget that those guys were cooked as king. Did you ever watch 300? Xerxes. Amen. Did you ever watch 300? Now that's the picture. The kings are cooked as gods. So, you need to be at a higher level now to pass a death sentence on wizards and sorcerers. Don't you think so? That's not a normal king. A regular politician cannot do that. You remember Okija Shirai? But you see, he could speak boldly. If you don't tell me the dream and the interpretation, you are dead. And he meant it. I mean, he is threatening sorcerers. He's a bigger boy. Amen. You know why? Babylon was a proper just town. Proper just town. You see? And you should draw inspiration from there. Inspiration. That if three or four men who have the old covenant could thrive in a land where jazz was official. Do you understand me? In Nigeria, you go behind doors to meet Babalawo. You don't want to be caught. It's something that is done in the hidden places. It's not something that people are proud of. It's not public. At least not something that the federal government endorses publicly. Amen. Can I get an amen? But you see, in Babylon, there was a ministry of jazz and wizardry. No, there was a ministry of sorcery and divination. It was, you are laughing. It's true. It was there. Why should the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, threaten the wizard? There were his employees. They were on salary. And fast forward, after Daniel solved the problem, they made him the minister of the jazz department. He became the chairman. Oh, you don't know? Watch this. But here's my point. How can you draw inspiration? If four men in the old covenant who did not even have space to offer sacrifices to renew the jazz, what they did was to open their window and refer to previous sacrifices in the temple that Solomon made, and then they produced such results, how much more the believer in the new covenant established upon better promises? That means we are just making excuses. What did Daniel do? When he heard, he told the king, he said, King, don't worry, give us time. Give us time. He was certain that something would come out of it. He returned with the king's dream. He did interpretation. If they told you your dream, wouldn't you believe? With the king's dream. And then the interpretation. They literally started worshiping him. Power. Power.
From there, he became a president and brought in his brothers. The Jews are like that, and Christians should be like that. You think that should be the end? No. When Darius came, you see, I told you, others just got jealous because he was favored and threw him into the lion's den. Spiritual power. You can't play victim in life.
Yes, sir.
You must school yourself as a believer to be on the offensive with the power of God. On the offensive. That means you tell yourself, look, I am Cyrus. Cyrus means possessor of the hot places. This, when we shout the Cyrus anointing, that's what you're saying. You are a possessor of the hot places. You are not going to places because they are convenient. You are not chickeny now because... Are you with me? No! God knows they are hot. And that's what the anointing is for. That's what the anointing is for. Are you with me? Queen Esther and his people were marked for death. Nothing was going to change it. Hope you know. Haman was a wicked man. And he had gotten the king's heart indirectly. He knew nothing. He was playing by the laws. See, I'm showing the reality of the wickedness that plays as you fulfill your destiny. Esther just became a queen. I was doing queen things. And her people were about to be killed. And then Mordecai said, go and tell her. Go and tell her. If you don't rise now, if you don't rise beyond this makeup to defend your people, that's the one somebody heard. If you don't rise beyond this enjoyment in the palace, are you with me? To give purpose to the reason why you are there. Don't think that your father's house will be preserved. He said, for who knows if God has brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this. See, when God promotes you, know you are promoted for such a time as this. When God gives you a position, know you have this position for such a time as this. Are you with me? As God blesses you with mega monies, know God has blessed you in the kingdom for such a time as this. But see, Esther understood the dynamics of spiritual power. She knows if we can fast 3 days and three nights, we will overturn the heart of the king and overturn the wickedness of her man. And that also happened. She was not a pastor. She was not a pastor. Listen, Christianity cannot lack power. Why should somebody threaten you in the office and you go home crying? Why? Or you leave the job. They told you if you apply for that job, we'll kill you. And listen, those are the kind of things you should expect. Why are we not expecting it? Why? Because an average Christian has not been schooled in the dynamics of spiritual power. They don't even know that they are calling, their assignment is a ministry. And as they prosecute that enterprise, demons to come, opposition to come. Oh yes. Listen, you cannot prosecute the enterprise of destiny without kingdom power. That's what I'm saying. I want you to rest. And it's available to you. Oh, glory to God. He's available. Joshua was a warlord and a political leader, but he knew how to tell the sun to stand. He knew. So there is no excuse. Can I get an amen? No excuse. No excuse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. See, I'm a proof producer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, I'm a living witness. Kingdom power system number one. Are you ready now? So it's introduction I've been doing. Number one, revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. You see, what I'm saying is this. No Christian should be a victim of the system. No Christian should be a victim of circumstances. No Christian should be a victim of the proliferation of wickedness in our world. You shouldn't be. Somebody say, I don't like your face. The story I gave at the beginning of my message, I knew the person. It wasn't made up. I got to hear later and it pained me that I had a conversation. That was what happened. You see, when things, look up at me. What I'm about to say is part of your spiritual capacity development. You see, when things are projected in the spirit realm, they manifest physically as things that people can explain. The problem is that Christians are explaining things away. They say, oh, this is cancer. The doctor said they don't know where it came from. Don't you know you was projected? You see, when we say, they say, no, you are being superstitious. You are kidding me. Super what? Jesus prayed for a child that had epilepsy and commanded the spirit of epilepsy to leave him. Are you with me? You saw epilepsy and are giving tranquilizers. It can be explained, but behind it is a spirit. So when things are projected into the spirit, time and chance carry them out. So things start manifesting in the physical realm as headache, as growth, as things not working, as your business partners leaving mysteriously, and you want to say, no, you are not competent for the business. You say, maybe really I'm not competent. You are speaking English. When the disciples of Jesus, servant of the man in the parable that Jesus gave, came to him and said, Master, you planted wheat, but we are seeing tears. He wasn't confused. Say, no, an enemy has done this. Don't be confused. Don't be confused. Your son is behaving in a way you don't understand. I am looking for counselors. Which counselor? You will put his head in your armpit. He will speak in tongues on his head for 20 minutes. He doesn't need to understand what you are saying. You know, our first son was attacked when he was born. I mean, that story for daddy. Satan came for him. You see, when you give a name, Jason means healer. I wouldn't have given my son Jason. I felt it was a popular name. Amen. Amen. I mean, glory to God. But you see, God said his destiny shall be a healer and a restorer. And the name we knew was Jason. So we gave him Jason. That's a healer and restorer. How can a healer be sick? Amen. Out of the three of them, he's the only one. At 3 months, he was sick, admitted. His heart failed. He was on oxygen. Many people in church don't know this. At 6 months, you're sick, hospitalized for days. And every 3 months, at 9 months, he was in the hospital for almost 2 weeks. We traveled. He wasn't even in the States. After that, I knew. I've been busy here and there. After that, I knew. So one day, the similar symptoms were coming. I said, give me the boy. Give me the boy. I carried him on my shoulder. I can't remember how many hours I prayed. When he rested in my heart, I dropped him. That was the end. Are you with me? So no Christian, we have power. I'm just doing introduction. We have power. You see, Satan should not come to your house and you are speaking English. No! Don't explain things away. There will always be a natural explanation. Oh yes, there will. If not that the trailer failed brake, you'd have driven from there before the accident happened. A natural explanation. It's been programmed and settled in the realm of the spirit. I've told you, in the realm of the spirit, there are no accidents. The video has been watched before it happened, exactly how it should happen. In life, don't explain things away. No. Have a rapid response approach. Oh, Malakapa. Rapid response. Rapid. An enemy has done this. You threaten me that you kill me. Or you threaten... What kind of... Who should threaten you in life? Who? Who? You know what to do. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? See, I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. All right, revelation knowledge, very fast. Let's see how far we can go with that. The first system of power in the kingdom is revelation knowledge. And this is the eye of your understanding. Being open to know the Christ. What is the hope of his calling? What is the glorious riches of his inheritance in the saints? What is the greatness of his power toward us who believe? Hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew chapter 16, 14 to 18. Let's read it very fast. Matthew 16, 14. Talabukosa. Shalakaprepa. And all ye wives, let the things that you get to your husband be the things that you have tamed. What do I mean? It's not you don't go jittery at the slightest thing. No, that's the way to exercise your own faith too. Exercise your faith. Let the things that you will escalate be the things that are beyond you. And yes, there are things like that. In fact, even your husband, there are things that are beyond him. Are you with me? Some say, oh, my fiance is spiritual, so I'm covered. In a sense, yes. In a sense, yes. Amen. In a sense, yes. But you see, fulfilling destiny is not sexually transmitted. You'll get it tomorrow. That means there are things you have to build by yourself. Can I get an amen? Amen. Revelation knowledge is a scripture. I don't know who is dragging me into this thing. I don't know. Glory to God. Jesus has a question. He said, who do men say that I am? And Simon Peter says, some said, I'm sorry. Go to 16. Okay, let's read from 14. There says, some said thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, all are Jeremiah's, and one of the prophets. He said, but whom do you say that I am? Alright, next verse. And Simon Peter answered and said, Calabaya, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed thou Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. That means Simon got a revelation. He got a revelation. This is not something from his head. He got a revelation. And the revelation was about who Jesus is. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. So the Holy Spirit had given Simon a revelation. Verse 18. Oh, glory to God. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, meaning the rock. And upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Look at what follows. Power. He said, and I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Keys here in the New Testament is metaphorical for power and authority. He's saying, I'm giving you kingdom power. What's the beginning of the kingdom power? Revelation. Revelation. You see, revelation knowledge is the doorway to spiritual power. And that's why we're starting from there. The illumination of your mind to know who Christ is, his person, to know the principles of the kingdom, his principles, and to know your place, your position in him. I've said three things now. The illumination of your mind and of your spirit, that is the beginning of spiritual power. To know his person, his principle, and your position, your place rather, your place in him, your place in him because of who he is and what he has done. Revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. Drawn from God's word by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Insight into who he is. Insight, illumination of your mind of his principles. The principles of the kingdom. Yes, you can be illuminated. When probably there's a problem in the family, there has been a challenge from generation to generation to generation, and it came to you and you took your Bible and you said, Lord, open my eyes to see. What have you said about this situation? What have you said? What is the answer? And then God gives you an answer of peace from his word. Revelation. That is power. That is power. It's power. What do you think happened to Bishop Edipo in 1982 or 1981? The story he gives. He took the Bible and the laws of prosperity. God's will is prosperity rather, by Gloria Copeland. And went to lock himself up for 3 days. Number one, that was not the first time he was reading that book. He said he had read it before. Number two, that was not the first time he was reading scriptures on prosperity. No, but that 3 days was different. What happened? Light broke from heaven. He said, when it came, I screamed like a child and like a raccoon and shouted, I can never be poor. What happened? Light exploded in his spirit. It exploded. So you don't wish things would change. No, you carry the book and say, Lord, show me light. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Like menorah. Light me, Lord. You are there hungry. You are saying, Lord, I know there is a way. I know there is an answer for this lack of finances that has been passed down from generation to generation. I know it's supposed to stop with me. Open my eyes to see. This sickness in this house, open my eyes to see. This consistent failure, nobody goes beyond this level. What? Open my eyes to see. I know I have come to know you as the person. I have understood. I see you as the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, open my eyes to understand the principles that will lift me from A to B. I want light breaks from heaven. I want his springs. That is power. That is power. I believe he saw Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18. I believe he said, for thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. Listen, most times the end point of your prayer is that breaking of the light. Because with God, after intercession is not always intervention. It is insight and revelation. So you intercede, supplication, prayer. The light breaks. Insight. Kalabako Soshotoba. Insight. Insight. Revelation knowledge. No, this is not your mind. This is communicated to into your spirit by the Spirit of God. And yes, it can happen. Yes, it can happen. And once your heart is hungry, God has a way of getting to you. Oh, he'll find a way to you. He'll find a way to get to you. Your personal recognition system will be activated. They are talking stories and you are hearing God speak. You are watching a movie and you are hearing God speak. You know, Machashilo said, how did KICC London blow? He was praying about the move of the Spirit. Okay, their church will grow and do bigger things in London. And he was flying to New York, I believe. And in the aircraft, he watched sisters act. And he saw music, how they brought music to church. And I don't remember sisters act. And the Lord spoke to him, that is the next step for your ministry. And KICC blew. How can you explain it? Movie. He said, focus on your music. Honor me through worship. Bring artists. There will be a move. He did that and there was a move. But see, his heart was hungry. That is revelation knowledge. He said, God will direct you to a scripture to explain what he has told you. He will. Revelation is a power. It is a power. It is. Oh, glory to God. Mate kepetosi kapaya. It is a power. Yes. Supernatural illumination of your mind about his person, his principles, and your place in him. Oh, you must prioritize it. You must prioritize it. You see, I believe he was, is it Victoria Orenze? What's the name of the worship artist? Is Victoria Orenze? Yes, that I heard say this recently. He said, she's a worshiper. But listen, she said something. She said, in this move of God we're having in Nigeria, he said, this generation is beginning to love music and singing more than God's word. How many of you understand what I just said? So you call for a concert, a worship meeting, you have more people. You call for a teaching meeting where Christ is unveiled, you have to put more effort for the people to come. But it ought not to be so. It ought not to be so. Don't neglect the other. In fact, what gives potency to music is a revelation of God's soul. Because listen, we call it lyrical theology. Music is actually supposed to be a teaching ministry. Two songs. Are you with me? An evangelistic ministry. Two songs. Glory to God. A prophetic ministry. Two songs. And you will notice, if you're a deep thinker, you notice that psalmists come with these flavors. They are those who, you know, communicate deep revelations of God's word. They are those who are prophetic in their singing. They are those who are evangelistic in their singing. They are those who are encouragers, like pastors, in their singing. That means what gives potency to a true music ministry is a revelation of God's word. Without that, it's just excitement. There's no production. There's no reproduction. There's no conception and reproduction. Revelation knowledge. Hunger for. Humble to receive it. Prioritize it. See, Jesus prioritized revelation knowledge because he knew it was the power, the gateway to kingdom power, the gateway to spiritual power. He knows. He knew, rather. In Luke 24, you read from 4 to 45, you see there. The Bible says, he opened the understanding. He was teaching from the Bible. He opened the understanding that they may understand the scriptures. He opened the understanding that they may understand the scriptures, the things written about him. He opened the understanding. In Acts chapter 1 verse 3, when the Bible says, with many infallible proofs, he put it up for me. You see, in context, the infallible proofs, there is no miracles he's talking about. No, he's talking about proofs from scriptures that he is the Christ. What was he doing for 40 days? Opening their eyes to see. That was what he was doing. He wasn't working miracles. Of course, he would do that. But the most important thing, the infallible proof, he's talking about scriptures. to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom. How do I know? The way Peter responded on the day of Pentecost from the book of Joel, he did not know it before. Because even after his resurrection, they didn't know that Christ should die. He had to tell them. You see, what we read in Luke 24 was after his resurrection, he said he opened their understanding. They didn't understand before. And it takes time. He stayed with them 40 days until he updated their software. But look, this is the Christ that should come. So the context was him unveiling to them the revelation of the Christos as God's answer to his eternal plan for man's salvation. He prioritized it. Glory to God. He prioritized it. Revelation knowledge. Beholding his face. Seeing him more and more. You see, in Ephesians chapter 1, what we call the Pauline prayers, we'll wrap up now. What we call the Pauline prayers, glory to God. The Pauline prayers, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. You see, when you read down, you will know that where he was going was the power. Okay, the authority that the church has on the earth on behalf of Christ. Time will not permit me to read everything, but when you go home, you can read from the Message translation. He shows you that Christ rules from galaxies to government, and he rules to the church. He says, at the center of his soul, Christ rules, but he rules through his church. So where he was going was the authority of the church on the earth as the body of Christ. But look at the journey. I couldn't stop thanking God for you every time I prayed, and I think of you, I give thanks. Give me Message translation. Give me Message translation. Sorry, Amplified Classic. All right. For I always pray to God, to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. Why do not pray for a new car for them, new jobs, as nice as those things are? He knew that, look, once you increase in revelation knowledge, you make power available for change. You are positioned to use kingdom power. Are you here? By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you. Oh, hallelujah. He wants you to know the hope to which he has called you. Many Christians don't know the hope to which he has called them. That is why they put their trust in men. That is why they throw in the tower. They don't know the hope to which he has called them. And how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints he set apart once. Verse 19. Are you seeing? He wanted to know how rich is the glorious inheritance in the saints. I told you we are not hustlers. We are heirs. We are heirs. We are heirs. You see, that can only happen to you by knowledge. Oh, you wake up one and tell yourself, Satan, can't pay rent in an estate I own. Oh, you didn't get that. Hallelujah. He said, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. I won't explain the interplay of words there, not today. Just see the power there, move on. He wants us to know what is the greatness of his power directed towards us who believe. That means there is power available. He wants your eyes to be open to see it. You see, when your eyes is open, you will sing, oh Lord, come down, manifest your power. Oh Lord, come down. No, he's not coming down. You know, the power is within you. It's part of that illumination by revelation knowledge. Are you here? You'll be struggling with a demon and clearing way for demon. Demon says, I'll not come out. I say, come on. I say, okay, if I'm going to come out, clear the path for me. I go straight. I said, you have heard him. Clear the path. You do that. You do this. Clear the path. One man said, after they are cleared the path, and they said, God, they saw a child passing, like moving, he dropped and died. He said, rip that boy, remove him. Is this Christianity? Like India movie. He's running before the demon passes. Get him away from there. Lack of revelation knowledge. Once you are illuminated with your coke and gala, you tell the demon, go out. Are you here? A man was casting out the devil, and the demon said, hey, hold it there. Say, it is written. You know, Satan did it, so his boys to do it. Yes. So, hold it there, it is written. This one goeth not except by fasting and prayer. He said, just ate pounded yam and egusi soup. Amen. He said, I can't come out. You see, imagine if the man did not have knowledge. You are laughing. There are people who don't know that demons are lying. No, real life story. You know what the man of God told the demon? He laughed. He said, there was Momo, he didn't add it. Now keep quiet and come out. And he screamed and came out. Your audacity increases the clearer you see. Revelation knowledge is a power. Many Christians are groping in the dark. They don't know who Christ is. They don't know who they are. Why do we have believers? They are not really believers. Why do we have young people doing ritual for money? Why do we have young people believing more in occultic power? Because they've not been told that there is power in Christ. There is power. The legal power is in Christ. Revelation knowledge. If you are blessed, shout, I'm blessed. Yes! Colossians 1, 8 and 9. You see there, Paul prays that I may be filled with all wisdom, with his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Hallelujah. Verse 9. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard, we did not cease to pray for you, to desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom. It's still that revelation knowledge, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see, this was the crux of Paul's prayer. We call it the Pauline prayer, right? Our glory zone. This is the crux of Paul's prayer. Why? Revelation knowledge is a power. Don't be an African. You're a new creation. You understand what I mean? It's not only when people fall that there is power. That's the manifestation of power. But power is more than that. When the light bulb of God's word goes on in a man's spirit, that is power. You see, John Alexander Dowie, he was a pioneer healing revivalist, Kalabaya, in Chicago, Zion City, Chicago, Illinois, right? Yes, in the 19th century. John Alexander Dowie was pastoring a church and a plague broke out. People were dying. He was burying church members. People were dying. And in those days, they had this erroneous doctrine of sickness being the will of God. Okay? Sickness being the will of God. Maybe God is trying to teach them something. Maybe the city has committed sin and God is judging them. All those kind of things. But he was tired of burying church members. And he carried his Bible and began to study revelation knowledge. And he stumbled on Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. who went about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil, for God is with him. He said from that place he jumped on him. He saw clearly that Satan is the defiler and Christ is the healer. And from that place he said, no more, I'm not burying any church member. I'm the healing anointing, one of the most phenomenal healing anointings. John Alexander Dowie, go and read. Shkabatoski balaka. Ah. time will fail. I can't go into the stories today. Healing. It was from him that John G. Lake caught the healing anointing. In fact, John G. Lake too had buried people up and down. His sister was sick. He said, who do I know who believes in divine healing? John Alexander Dowie. He wrote a letter to him and the sister got healed. Amen. That was what John Alexander Dowie caught the healing from. Glory to God. From that revelation, many people drew. Yes. You see, in Spokane, Washington, the mayor of Spokane gave John Alexander Dowie an award for making Spokane the healthiest city in America. Yes, because they had a healing school. They had healing technicians, calabash. Yes, they did. Everybody in the city that was sick, they sent to them and they got healed. They healed people. Some accuse him of practicing medicine without a license. But they make Spokane, in Washington State, the healthiest city. Give him an award. Give him an award. In South Africa, a man, when he was in South Africa, you know, he did missionary work in South Africa. A man's horse had a broken leg. I know the horse was in pain. Someone will shoot the horse today. I said, no, let me pray for the horse. Broken leg. He laid hands on this horse. The horse up. I was healed. You say there are fake miracles. You don't know God. You don't know God. Yes. The horse has been crippled. I was in pain. The owner wanted to relieve him of the pain. He laid hands on this on the horse. And with a broken leg, the horse got healed and started leaping. You cannot tell a horse do what you could not do before. No, that is apostolic power. Do you understand? It's power. Akbara is power. It's not, you can't tell a horse do what you could not do before. It's power. The horse leaped. He knew he was healed. Aya. Hey. Oh, are you blessed? Spiritual power. This introduction, Lou. You liar, tired this month. Spiritual power. Some of you will get angry and you will lock yourself. You will lock yourself. You will lock yourself. You will pull rope on your waist and throw it outside. He said, if you are not hearing me, just draw. You see, no, I'm not kidding. This was what T.L. Osborne. Oh, T.L. Osborne, another example. I'll give him, then we'll close. This was what T.L. Osborne did. Oh, T.L. Osborne said, I saw Christ in the Gospels. You will see something and you will step into power. There's something you have to see. There's something you have to see. One day, many years ago, I believe it was Dr. Paul, he read Acts 15 and saw that Peter, without speaking, God sick people healed. He said he kept meditating until the wine of that scripture came out. Then one day during healing and deliverance service, he sat in his office and walked into the hall and sat down and saw people getting healed. He came up and said, glory to God, if you are healed, come out. And people started coming out. Yes. Revelation. On a certain day, they brought a deaf and dumb guy to him. He looked at him. He didn't prefer. He said, how are you? The guy said, fine. That's how I got healed. Insight. How did I start healing the sick? Back on campus. A major scripture was Acts 3. And it was something that many people would not have even seen. He's not commonly seen. I saw that Peter prayed for the crippled man once and didn't pray again. He didn't pray. The Bible says he prayed for him. The man didn't walk. The Bible says he took him by the right hand. And God spoke to me. He said, action is a switch of my power. The next time I met a deaf guy, he was a missionary. Before the missionary, I put my hand in his ear. I say, "Ephata, be open in the name of Jesus." I say, "Block the ear that cannot hear. Can you hear me?" He said, "Yes, I can hear you." I could see the amazement on his face. Light has come. Revelation knowledge. It will throng you into prosperity, into divine healing, divine health. It will give you a great home. Revelation knowledge. The Lord says, houses and lands are the inheritance of a father, but the good wife cometh from the Lord. The way I meditated on that verse, I knew I could not marry wrong. No, it's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. I'll open houses and lands are the inheritance of a father, but the good wife, is a precious wife. That's Proverbs, comes from the Lord. You see, my wife is word delivered. Do you understand? Delivered by the word. Delivered. Package and deliver. She's smiling. She said, Are you here? Light will come concerning that business. It will hit you like thunderbolts. You'll be walking on water by those lights. Everyone wanting, why are you not sinking? Say, I'm walking on the word. Oh, I'm walking on revelation. I'm walking on revelation. People will be afraid for you. And you'll be like, what a waste of fear. Don't waste your fear. Don't waste your fear. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, glory to God. You lock yourself up. You will decide. This of his power. You decide. I wrote something down by the inspiration of the Spirit. I said, I must bring something crude on the table to my generation. Something primitive. Do you understand? Something unmistakable. You will decide. That industry, you may be at the lower level. That's not the problem. The real issue is, can you engage power systems? Can you engage power systems? It begins with revelation knowledge. It begins with revelation knowledge. You can guess the other things. Speak in tongues where you are. Sorabanda kepa, opened eyes. The spirit of seeing and knowing. Your sight is an advantage. Your hearing is an advantage. Your spiritual perception is an advantage. Shaka petosika pure bedele kepaya. Ina no kosile brunda kosiste pura. Ate petosika brunda siste pa. If you are here and you cannot speak in tongues yet, by faith open your mouth. Close your eyes and say, Lord, fill me with your spirit. And then as you do that, you will hear the language in your heart. You will hear the language. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. Yelabako petosikapai. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Speak in tongues. Abedo sikapa. Ima kopotosa. Emshala kapra. Emshala kaprepeta. Emshala kaprepetosika. Liga burebede sikapaya.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.